God is good. It's good to be in the house of God today. And the enemy has been fighting this week. I don't think he wants this word to go forward. But despite all of that he has tried, he shall not succeed. And the word of God is going to go forth today. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 14. And we'll be reading verses 16 through 21. Hallelujah. This is a thought that kind of hit me a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to share it with you, as I believe it is very much in need in this hour. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 21. Jesus, speaking at the Last Supper to his apostles, says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." I want to read that verse again. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Today I want to preach a message simply entitled, "The Manifestation of Truth." The manifestation of truth. It has been my heart's desire and endeavor to see the power of God move in our midst in this service. I don't want to just give you a nice speech or something to just get your emotions stoked up, but I want to equip you with something that I believe will draw you closer to God, and by the help of the Holy Ghost, to those of you that have not encountered Christ, that you would come into a saving relationship and knowledge of Him. But that can only occur through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but only the Spirit of God that can do that supernatural act in transforming a sinner into the righteous. And with the help of the Holy Ghost and with your help, I'd like to do that today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you. God, we worship you and we rely upon you. We enlist your aid today in this service. I pray, God, speak through me only as you can. God, use me, Lord Jesus, to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that someone might be born again and be saved, and also that the body of Christ might be further equipped and, oh God, delivered from the bondagements of Satan, and that they would walk in the freedom and the liberty of Christ. Father, have your way in this place. We bind every work of the enemy. We bind his hands fast, even now in the name of Jesus, and we release the power of the Holy Spirit to have free course in this place. Let there be revelation, O God, unleashed in our midst, O God, that we'd have a further and deeper understanding of you. We thank you and we bless you and glorify you, and in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about that element which is most important, and that is the element of truth. Because if we don't have truth, then we really have nothing. Everything else is a farce. It's a fake. It's a phony. It's something that is not real. And it is becoming very difficult, particularly in this age, this day and age, to determine what is real. There are several questions I want to answer in this message. Firstly, which is what Jesus started talking to the apostles during the Last Supper, which is, what is the Spirit of truth? John 14, verse 26, Jesus defines what the Spirit of truth is. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." That the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. Is called the Comforter, or the Advocate, the Helper. It is God's essence, that God embodies the very essence and definition of what truth is. Now, in our main text, in verses number 16 and 17, when Jesus is talking about the Spirit of truth, he begins to tell his disciples something very peculiar here. He says in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." When I used to read this verse, it used to confuse me, because the fact of the matter is that the only way that salvation can be appropriated, it is through the inception of truth. It is impossible to walk in liberty without there being truth being applied. Jesus said, I believe in John chapter 8, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is by truth that we walk in liberty and that we walk in freedom. As a matter of fact, that it is truth that is what sets apart the people of God from any other people that's upon the earth. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, "Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That the word sanctification means to be separated, to be dedicated, to be isolated in service unto God. In order to be truly God, you have to walk in truth. The Bible says that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Truth defines and it excludes falsehoods. Truth by definition is exclusive. It sets apart things. It makes a definite statement regarding the reality of things. And so it is imperative that we have an understanding of the Spirit of truth. Now, the thing that used to bother me about this text, it says that the world was incapable of receiving the Spirit of truth. That even, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Now, I find that to be mind-boggling, because in order to be saved, that we need to receive the Spirit of truth, but yet the world at large cannot receive the Spirit of truth. The question is this: why can't the world receive the Spirit of truth? Jesus answers the question. He says, "Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." There are two realities that Jesus brings to our attention, that the world at large, our society, our culture, cannot receive the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, because it cannot see the truth and it cannot perceive or understand or know the truth. And I want to try and answer that particular question, which is, why cannot the world see and know the truth? Turn with me to John chapter 18, verse 36. I'm going somewhere with this. In John chapter 18, we see that Jesus is being judged by Pilate. The Jews and the Pharisees have brought Jesus Christ before the judgment hall to be accused and to be put to death. And Pilate is beginning to question Jesus in this discourse. John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." Now, what I find to be interesting in regards to this question is that it is rhetorical, meaning that the question was raised not actually expecting or seeking an answer. And this is, I believe, one of the main reasons why people do not see truth, because they don't want to. They don't want to see the truth, because truth brings with it accountability and causes an individual to have to deal with the facts and reality. He said, "What is truth?" How do we even define what truth is, even though truth was literally standing and staring at him right in the face? What is truth? People, they raise the question, but they really do not want the answer. One of the things that provoked this line of thinking is I was listening to a podcast by Joe Rogan, and he was interviewing a very profound philosopher by the name of Jordan Peterson. And in this discourse, Jordan Peterson began to delineate regarding the truth of the Word of God regarding the Bible. And he began to say that the Bible is the truth. And he says it's far beyond what many people describe the Bible as being. And that he began to talk about why our society, our Western culture, is falling apart. That it's lost its foundation. That we live in what's called a postmodernistic society. And what that means is that truth is not objective or absolute. It is relative and subjective. meaning that I have my truth, you have your truth, you stay in your truth, and I walk in my truth. And people who preach that, for some reason, always want to assert their truth over yours while demanding tolerance of their truth. But the fact of the matter is that we live in this postmodernistic society where words have no meaning. And that simple definitions become incredibly complex and hard to understand. If I were to go to someone on the street and says, could you tell me what a man is? People cannot answer that question anymore. Because now we've got 5,000 different genders that are out there. I don't know what it is anymore. What are you? Are you a man? Are you a woman? Are you binary? Are you queer? Are you transgender? What are you? We don't know what you are anymore. Everything has become convoluted and it's become perverted because the fact of the matter is that the enemy has desired to pervert truth because truth is the gateway to liberty and to freedom. And the fact of the matter is, Jordan Peterson, he was talking about this and he said, words have lost meaning and there is such a division amongst our Western society. And he says the reason why is because we have divorced ourselves from the foundation of what makes our culture what it is. He said to find out what the foundation of, let's say, language, of how people communicate, you take a sampling of what people talk about, the metaphors, the puns that they use, the moral ethics and codes that they invoke whenever they are trying to communicate with each other. And if you look at all the spectrum of communication in our Western culture, our society, and you can see the influences of different literary texts that have been in our society, in our culture, and some of them like Shakespeare and a few others that are out there, that have influenced the way that we speak, the way that we think. At the core, the very foundation of that, which shapes all Western modern thought, is the Bible. Because the Bible was the very first book that was ever printed. And it became the foundation of our justice code. It's the foundation of our sense of morality. It's used as a point of reference in order to communicate. And the fact of the matter is that now that we've become a postmodernistic, which means that truth and reality is not judged by something objective or something outside of myself. It's judged by myself. We no longer have objective truth. And because of that, we no longer have a means of communicating. I want to quote some that Jordan Peterson said. He said, so it isn't that the Bible is true, it's that the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth, which makes it way more true than just true. Now, I know it seems like some semantics going on there, but let me just break that down here for a minute. He said that the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth. What he's saying is, in order for us to communicate, at some juncture, we will have to invoke a biblical principle, law, or concept. So therefore, the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation or the realization, the appearance, the understanding of what truth is. Because it's the point of reference by which we communicate. But because people are now divorcing themselves from the foundation of truth, and it's my truth, your truth, people can no longer communicate because words no longer have a proper definition that we can agree upon. In order for us to communicate, we have to have an agreed upon terms in order to understand each other. But because we can't even agree on what a man is, or what a woman is, or whatever is, you cannot communicate with each other. And this causes chaos, dysfunction, frustration, anger, and offense. And it causes the very culture and its fabric to fall apart. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. He says, I believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is true. Not because in of itself that it's true, but enables me to see all truth. In the same sense that I believe in the sun, yes, because I see it, but I believe in it because by the sun I'm able to see everything else. The Bible is the lens, the Word of God is the lens by which truth can be perceived and understood and received. And at any juncture, whenever you divorce yourself, separate yourself, cut yourself off from the Word of God, you are unable to perceive and to receive truth. The world cannot see or know truth because it is blinded by its own idea of what truth is, which is a lie. Everything that the devil has done from the beginning of time has been done to undermine the integrity of God's word and the truth of God's word. The reason why our reality has plunged into the doldrums that it's in, into the depravity that it's in, is because it has rejected revealed truth. Nobody wants to hear the truth anymore. Instead, we substitute it with alternative facts. We substitute it with fake news. We don't want to actually investigate or substantiate or validate facts. We want something to affirm what we already believe. And because of that, we are unable to see what truth is. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. In order for you to perceive reality, true reality in this world, you must substantiate your faith, your understanding, your perception on the word of God. And the reason why the church is falling into deception, the reason why the church of God is losing its power and its significance and identity in our reality, because it has separated itself from the word of the living God. Instead, now what is being preached from our pulpits are self-help meditations and self-help ideas and ideologies. Nothing that convicts, nothing that transforms, nothing that challenges us to repent and to turn from dead works, nothing that will offer us to allow us to walk in the truth of God's word, which enables freedom and liberty. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage, which is the lies of the enemy. It is the truth. It's what we need today. Psalms 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to really focus on the statement that Jordan Peterson said. He said that the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth. That you cannot see, perceive, or understand truth unless the Word of God is present inside of your reality. Now, he is talking about that philosophically and ideologically, talking about concepts and ideas and words. But the fact of the matter is that I want to take this to another level, that the only way that we can see truth, the supernatural aspect of truth, because truth is not just an ideology or a concept, because truth is a person. Because the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That God, hallelujah, pre-existed everything else, and God is the truth. Now here's the thing I want you to understand. Let me just pause it just for a minute. The fact of the matter is that people cannot see just an idea or see a thought or a concept. There has to be something tangible that is there. Although you can see the effects of God's truth, because the identity of God, the glory of God is clearly seen throughout creation, they could not see truth itself. When I look at a sunrise, I can see the evidence of God's creation, God's intelligence, God's wisdom, and God's design. When I look at the sea and see the waves crashing upon the shore, I can see the evidence of God, but not God himself. And so God said, in order for me, for you guys to see truth, I've got to make myself manifest. Which is why the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. If you wanted to see what truth was, Jesus manifested himself, because he is the Word of God. Jesus said in John 14, 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot perceive the miraculous unless the Word of God is present. You cannot perceive or understand the supernatural, because the Word of God is the precondition for the manifestation, for the reality of what truth is. We've got to get back to thus saith the Lord, and standing firm on the Word of God, not on man's philosophy or enticing words or wisdom, but stand on thus saith the Lord. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to get back to the Word of God. The reason why you're not seeing the truth of God's Word is because you're not walking in truth. John 14, verse 16, my main text. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, Judas raises a question during this discourse regarding this manifestation of the Spirit of truth. Look what he says here in verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it that you can reveal yourself to us, but no one else in the world is able to see the truth that we clearly see, that you are the Christ, that you are the Son of God, that you are the fountain of living waters, that you are the bread of life that quenches my hunger and quenches my thirst, that you are the light of the world that pierces through the darkness and dispels my fears, that you are my salvation, the only one through which atonement is appropriated, that you are my deliverer, and that you are the lifter of my head, that you are my shield and my buckler, my fortress and my strong defense. People cannot see that. Why can they not see that God is true, that his word is true? We see here in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now I want you to understand that the Bible is full of ideas. It is full of the logos or the concepts of God's will for your life. Inside of it is the truth. Inside of it unlocks the power to the supernatural, to the miraculous, to cancers being healed and dead bodies being raised and devils being cast out and marriages being fixed and bills being paid. It's there, but you will not see the reality of it because of what Jesus said here. He said, what separates the world from you guys is that you keep my words. You don't just hear my words, but you keep my words, meaning that you observe and you obey it, meaning that if you want to see the truth, you've got to be faithful to the word of God. One of the reasons why we don't see the miraculous is because we give up too quickly and we're waiting for something else to give us what we want instead of standing on the word of God. But he said, what manifests my truth to you is that if you stay with my truth, if you stay in my word, even when all hell and high water is breaking loose, you stand on my word. Even when people speak ill against you and despitefully use you, you stand on my word. You say it out. You walk through it. You stick with it. Because when you do that, that is when you will see the truth of God's word manifest in your life. That's when you'll see people healed and bodies raised from the dead, because you're keeping the word of God. The world does not receive the truth because they cannot see it, because they're blinded by their own truth. And then there are those that know the truth, but they won't obey the truth. And because they don't obey the truth, they never see the manifestation of the truth. It's why, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, drowning in information, but lacking wisdom, drowning in data, but we have no true understanding of what truth is. If we want to see the manifestation of truth, then we have to get back to what the Word of God says. Now, what makes that so difficult is that we're bombarded by so many falsehoods and so many lies, and the falsehoods are often half-truths. I think it was Winston Churchill who said that the truth is so important that it's often protected by bodyguards of lies. That in order for you to see truth, you've got to work for it. You have to research it. You've got to fact-check everything these days. You can't take anyone's word for anything. If you want the truth, then you've got to investigate. You've got to look for it. And the fact of the matter is that we have a society that refuses to do so. The fact of the matter is, you're looking at reality right now, looking at the natural world, and what you're seeing is only half the truth. Because the reality that we live in is not only natural, it is also supernatural, it is spiritual. And in order for you to get the entire picture, you have to put both of them together. It's almost like, well, actually it is. It's like depth perception. Depth perception is your ability to perceive three-dimensionally, to perceive distances between objects. And the thing is, in order to have depth perception, you have to have two eyes. If you only have one eye, if you close one eye, you lose your depth perception. You can perceive length and width, but you lose your ability to perceive depth. Because in order to have deepness, you have to have more than one source of information. Now, think about that spiritually. You're looking at the reality through the natural eye, but you are only seeing the length and the width of what's really going on. You need another witness to give you all the facts. And the only one that can give you all the facts is the Spirit of Truth, which is the Word of God. And there are things that are happening to you that you cannot perceive or understand because you're looking with only one eye through the natural, as opposed to getting into the Word of God and through prayer and enlisting the aid of the Holy Spirit to see clearly what is going on. And here's the problem we have, church. We've got a lot of pirates in the church. Well, now, what do I mean by that? One of the most famous identifying markers of a pirate is that they typically are wearing an eye patch. Now, why are they wearing an eye patch? Because during their pirating ways and swashbuckling and thievery and stealing, they get into sword fights. And when you get into sword fights, sometimes you get an eye poked out. And he's lost his vision. If you know, pirates are not the happiest bunch of folks to hang out with. It was like, "Arr, where's my treasure?" Why? Because my eye got poked out. I can't see. And there's a lot of folks in the church like that. You were doing stuff you weren't supposed to do, and your faith got poked out, and now you can't believe in God anymore. And now when you come around, folks, "Arr, praise the Lord, brother. Shut up. Arr. You can't see anything because your spiritual eye, which has come through the Word of God, what God says about the situation, has been blinded. I don't go by what I see because the Bible says I walk by faith and not by sight. I cannot trust what I see with my eyes. I have to go back to the Word of God to get some depth perception into what is going on in my life. I need the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." I need the Word of God to be applied for me to perceive and see what is going on in my reality. You're looking at a situation right now that looks impossible, but the Word of God says in Matthew 19:26 that with men this is impossible, but with God this is possible. Now there is the Spirit of Truth. Now how are you going to manifest it? Are you just going to say, "Yes, brother, amen," or are you going to walk it out and believe it when things are looking tough? Because that's how you see it. You can't see it until you do it. The bill collector saying, "I don't have enough money to pay this thing. But I see in the Word of God in Philippians 4:19, which gives me the manifestation of truth. But my God says, apply all your need according to his riches in glory." There's the truth. Somebody say amen. The doctor says that I'm sick. But the Word of God, which is the Spirit of Truth, tells me that with his stripes that I am healed. Somebody say amen. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what man says? Are you going to believe what the Word of God says? Because the Word of God is the precondition for the manifestation of truth. Look at your situation and then compare it to what thus says the Lord, and you will see the truth. You will see the truth. If you walk in my word, if you say in my word, John 15:7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." If you stay with my word, even though it looks impossible, if you trust me even through thick and through thin, through hell and through high water, you will see the glory of God. The Word of God says in Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Hebrews 10:35 says, "Cast not your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, that after you having done the will of God, you should receive the promise." If you would just stick with the Word of God, Isaiah 40:31, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's what the Word says.
I don't trust what anyone else says. I stand on the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That God's word is seated in heavenly places. And there's no riot act that's going to unseat him from his throne. No rioters are going to break into heaven and get him to come off the throne. No, the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. No, God is still sovereign and in control. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. God is still in control. We got to stand on the word. Stand on the word of God.
Let's stand. I'm going to quit. You're fighting something that is impossible. But the word of God says in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's what the word says. We got to get back to the word. Stop listening to CNN and Fox News. Stop listening to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. And start getting yourself dialed into what thus says the Lord. What God has to say in the sun, because God has the final say on how things are going to go down. Your situation is only half a truth, which is a whole lie. It's only half the picture because it's all natural. But there is a supernatural element to this universe that the world at large cannot see because they have rejected the word of truth, which is the precondition for the manifestation, for the appearance of what truth is. So I've quoted all these scriptures here because I just want to reveal truth. Because where truth is, that's where liberty is. Now the thing is about the Holy Spirit is that Jesus said that he would testify of me. That the Holy Spirit's objective is to magnify Christ. Because Christ is the way and he is the truth and he is the life. If you do not know this Jesus that I'm speaking of, if you've not encountered the truth, I offer unto you this opportunity to receive Christ today. Because when you believe on him, truly believe on him, as the scripture has said, the Bible said that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, and that it would flow from your innermost being. The reception of truth is the key. It is the gateway into salvation. It is the gateway into sanctification. And it is the primary metric that identifies the people of God. That we as the people of God are those who walk in truth. And that we believe the truth. And we stand on the truth. I'll make it a little bit more plain. People are not going to see the truth that heaven exists unless they stand on the truth that's in the Word of God. Which is why the world does not see the truth, because the world wants everything quick. We live in a microwave society. We want to just put it in the oven for 30 seconds and see a blessing. But the fact of the matter is that God is looking for those that will endure unto the end. That yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're not going to see the miraculous until you get the grit and you buckle down and say, I'm not going to be moved off of what God has said. When you have an attitude like that, that is when you begin to see truth begin to manifest in your life. So I offer you this opportunity to receive truth, to receive Jesus. Again, the objective of the Holy Spirit is to exemplify, to magnify Jesus Christ. If we also want to see the manifestation of truth, then that's where we want to start, is by magnifying Jesus. In John 7 verse 39, when it's talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus speaking on the day of the feast, he says, this spake he of the Spirit, but the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That for the Spirit of truth to manifest, to be real, the Holy Ghost, Jesus has to be glorified. When you glorify Jesus, it attracts the Holy Spirit of truth. And the reason why you've not seen God work in your life, because you've yet to glorify Jesus. For the Spirit of truth to act in your life, to reveal the miraculous. Every miracle and every supernatural act occurred because of the Spirit of truth. And so, even as these altars are open, I want to take a moment to glorify Jesus, because I want to see the manifestation of the Spirit of truth in this place. Whatever lie the devil has told you, that you're going to be sick and you're going to die, or that you'll never be able to pay your rent, or that you'll, most importantly, that you'll never be saved, or that no one could ever love you. Those are lies that I want to counter by exalting Christ. Jesus posed the question to his disciples and saying, "Who do men say that I am?" I want to answer that question by going through the scriptures and repeating what men have said who Jesus is. That in the beginning that Jesus is the creator. That by his intelligence that he made all things. By him all things exist and consist. That Jesus is called El Olam, the everlasting God. Meaning that he is eternal and that he has no beginning and he has no end. That he is the first and he is the last. He is, hallelujah, Elyon, the most high God. A God and a deity that is superior to all other deities and gods. That he is inexhaustible. That he is merciful. For the scripture says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto him alone, who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever." In the scripture, God is called El Shaddai, meaning the Almighty God. Meaning that there's nothing lacking or insufficient in him. That he has the ability and the power to meet your needs and to overcome or move any mountain up. He is called Jehovah I Am. The I Am that I Am. The self-existent God. That he has nothing that he depends upon. He is the cause of all that exists and all that consists. He is Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. He is a bridge over troubled waters. He is our refuge and our strength. He is my light and my salvation. He is my shield and my buckler. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. He is the bread of life. He is the bright and morning star. He is the ancient of all days. He is the rock of ages. He is the light of the world. He is the Amen. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the good shepherd. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He is the eternal sacrifice and propitiation for sin. He is the fountain of living waters that quenches my thirst. He is my all in all. In him I move and breathe and have my being. Do you feel the Spirit of truth coming? As I glorify Jesus. He is the Bishop of souls. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the Ancient of all days. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the Savior, the Mediator, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Go-Between, the Rescuer, the Burden Bearer, the Balm of Gilead, the Friend of Sinners. Eshad HaMashiach. Glorify Jesus in this house. And the Spirit of Truth will manifest in this place. Right now in the name of Jesus, I release the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit to manifest, to make real in this place. The miraculous that show this people, God, that you are real and that there's no other God like thee in the heaven or in the earth, which keepeth his covenant and showeth mercy unto his servants. There's no God beside thee, neither the God formed before thee nor after thee. You alone are God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Come on, begin to worship him.